Moving over to the discussions in our Ask Economics, users have been diving deep into complex macroeconomic questions, starting with a post asking why do we not use nuclear energy way more? The user notes that while public fear and long construction times are commonly cited, they suspect there must be more to the story, wondering why nuclear isn't dominating fossil fuels given its environmental and economic promise. Community responses point out that the primary hurdle isn't actually inherent to nuclear power itself, but rather the rapidly falling costs of solar and wind energy. Commenters explain that nuclear power is heavily overregulated in the United States, so much so that if coal plants faced the same regulatory burden, not a single one would be operational. However, even if regulations were cut to the bare minimum, the fundamental cost trajectories remain unpromising. Nuclear plants require massive upfront capital and complex construction, whereas solar panels continue to get cheaper year after year. Additional discussion highlights that modern nuclear projects, such as the Vogtle plant in the United States, Flamanville in France, and Olkiluoto in Finland, have notoriously suffered from decade-long construction timelines, budget overruns, and unreliable supply chains, proving that free market capitalism and current nuclear construction models are struggling to align. Next up, another user asks a pressing fiscal question: will the US ever face a real debt crisis, or is it structurally too big to fail? Citing Congressional Budget Office projections that federal debt held by the public could reach roughly 175% of GDP by 2056, with net interest costs approaching 7% of GDP, the poster brings up Japan as the classic counterexample of a nation maintaining massive debt without a sovereign collapse, while questioning how long America's fiscal privilege can be tied to its global geopolitical power. In the discussion, contributors clarify that Japan is a unique case where a vast majority of debt is held internally by government pension funds and the central bank, paired with decades of low growth that allowed interest rates to stay near zero. Addressing the geopolitical angle, users are skeptical that America's defense alliances will automatically translate into financial bailouts if things go south. Furthermore, while the dollar's status as a global reserve currency provides a buffer, commenters warn that as US debt climbs, the rest of the world has increasing incentives to look toward alternative securities and commodities. Although high inflation is sometimes floated as a way to devalue debt, experts note that the short average maturity of US bonds, around 6 years, means that prolonged inflation would quickly force the Treasury to issue new debt at painfully high interest rates. Ultimately, commenters suggest that any breaking point will be driven by politics and shifting global alliances rather than math alone. Moving along, a user questioned why did real wages grow by only 0.1% this year? Citing data from USA Facts and the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the poster points out that real wage growth has stalled between 0.09 and 0.2%, falling far short of the ideal 1.5 to 2.5% range. While strict automated moderation guidelines meant that top-level responses required manual approval, the thread highlights ongoing public anxiety regarding purchasing power and wage stagnation against sticky inflation metrics. In a politically adjacent economics question, a user asked, is this basis supply and demand? Highlighting a statement by Senator Elizabeth Warren on social media where she described dynamic pricing by suggesting that the cost of ice cream goes up when it's hot out and tea bags go up when it's cold, prompting a query about whether dynamic pricing is a standard term taught in economics textbooks. Finally, another user posed a theoretical question asking what government policies could reduce asymmetric information in the economy? Top commenters noted that because the question is exceptionally broad, the general answer involves any policy that directly provides information to market participants. However, contributors offered a fascinating twist: instead of focusing solely on providing information, policymakers often look for ways to reduce the harm caused by information asymmetries. For example, when asymmetric information causes adverse selection in insurance markets, where only the unhealthiest people sign up, mandating that everyone purchase insurance can completely fix the market failure without necessarily improving anyone's underlying information set. Over in Art Finance, a major headline dominated the board: global bond yields hit multi-decade highs as governments pay the price for US-Iran stalemate, drawing intense discussion on how geopolitical flashpoints are directly impacting sovereign debt markets and global financial stability.